Okay, so our agenda is to understand Noah through the lens of Rashi. So to begin studying Noah, I want to take you back to the end of Parashas Bereishis, where we're first introduced to Noah, and we'll make a few points from the Rashi at the end of Bereishis. Let's begin. It's in the Chumash that I have. It's on page 26. It's Perek Hey Pasuk Chav Ches. Okay? So the Torah tells us that Lemech lived for 182 years, and then Lemech had a son. And Lemech named his son Noach because, right, by Yikra Shemol Noach Leimar, Zayinach Amenu Mima Asenu Mitzvon Yadenu Min Ha'adama Asher Eire Rahashem. Right? So Lemech called his son Noach for the following reason, because this fellow will comfort us from those actions that we're doing and from our sadness from the land that God cursed. But it doesn't sound so upbeat. Now, what's interesting just to note right at the beginning is that we have, like, all of chapter Hey of Bereishis is everybody has a son, no? And nowhere do we give a reason for a name. The only person who has a reason for his name is Noach. Now, reasons for names are common later on in Chumash, right? With the Shvatim, there are reasons for their names, right? Yitzchak has a reason for his name. This is the first reason for a name other than Chava, right? But so that's the first interesting point about Noach. Now, what is the name Noach? Zayinach Amenu. So let's look at Rashi on Zayinach Amenu. Okay, Rashi and Pasuk Choftes. So Rashi writes, Yaniach Mimenu es Itzvon Yadenu. That Noach will ease away from us the sadness of our hands. Before Noach was born, they didn't have any plows. Noach invented the plow. Okay, so that's a pretty serious contribution to humanity, that he invented the plow. We may know until Noach came around, the land would produce thorns and thistles when they planted wheat from the curse of Adam HaRishon. In the days of Noach, this eased. V'zeh yinach amenu, Rashi says as yanach mimenu. Now, what does Rashi mean by yanach mimenu? Who wants to translate those words for us? Right? What Rashi's doing is he's saying yanach amenu. There's like a dagesh chazak in the mem, and we'll read it like it's two words, yanach mimenu. And Rashi tells us what it doesn't mean in the next line. So who wants to translate yanach mimenu? Not that hard.
There's rest from it.
Rest from it. Okay.
From plowing with the hands. And
He will what? He will create rest from it. No?
Yes.
As opposed to, Rashi says, the other translation, which could have been that he will comfort us, no? And Zakt Rashi, according to the other translation, the name should have been Minachem. Now, let's just take a step back. Rashi's telling me, don't translate Noach's name in what I would say is the active voice of he shall comfort. Rather, we should translate Noach's name in the passive voice. He will ease our suffering. No? Our suffering will ease because of him. Not that he will, I shouldn't say that he'll do it. He won't really do anything, but through him it will be eased. Is that a fair translation, Orly?
How would you say in Hebrew that he would alleviate in a different way?
I would...
That's what this sounds like.
Right, so... one thing I would say is that there's a difference between the word yaniach and the word yanach. Mm-hmm. Rashi is translating yanach amenu as yanach mimenu, which means he will ease, not that where easing will come through him, rather than he won't actively do anything. Right? Minachim is clearly an active form. Zokt Rashi, and he's making a point of this, no? I know, it's a boring Rashi, it's like a TikTok Rashi, but Rashi's making a point of saying that the name is not Minachim. I would argue, based on something that one of the first people were like this, what I... In my youth, I was working closely with President Richard Joel of Yeshiva University. And one of the first big speeches President Joel gave that I helped him with was he spoke in the Jewish Center on Parshas Noach, probably of 2003. Like right at the beginning, he spoke in the Jewish Center. You remember this? That's like, well, I don't know how you remember that. But, okay, so President Joel spoke in, and President Joel took an entire approach based on Rashi's that we'll see later this evening, the contrast between Noach and Avram. Avram is an active person, right? Avram is told by the Rabbono Shel Olam, you go in front of me. Noach, right, walks, es halokim es halach Noach, he walks with God. Noach doesn't really do anything, he rode out a storm. I think that's the official nusach that's used. He didn't really do anything, he survived. Big whoop. Zokt Rashi, to even make a stronger point of that, Rashi is saying his name is Noach. Noach means at ease. His name is not even Minachem, that he will make others at ease. He will comfort others. He will do to others to make them relax. The name is just Noach. At ease, it is complete. And Rashi, I think, is making this point deliberately. Yeah. Hi, love. How are you?
But didn't God ask Noah to try to get the people of his generation to repent?
Yes, that's true. But Noah spends 120 years, we'll speak about this later, building a teva, and he is the world's least successful kiruv worker ever. Right? Kiruv, by the way...
I can believe that.
Kiruv is always a very labor-intensive and not successful profession. The amount of Kiruv professionals, I think Adam Furziger has a study of the number of Kiruv professionals in this country compared to the number of Balei Tshuva, and it's kim'at a one-to-one ratio. That ain't good. Right? Okay, fine. So that's the first point that Rashi makes. Now, Lemech lives after Noach is born for another 595 years. He has sons and daughters, and then Lemech dies, and he is 777 years old. Fine, beautiful. Noach, vayhi Noach ben chamesh me'el shana, vayolad Noach shem cham en yafes. Okay, what's the difference between this pasuk and everybody else when they lived and had children, etc.? Rashi is sensitive to part of this, but...
Vayolad is holy dough, or is...
Oh, we have by Lamech also, by Yolad Ben, he has a son, and he called the son, right? But Rashi is sensitive to how old are people usually when they have their children. So usually the young whippersnappers, like 100 or 200 years old. Little babies, you know? Noach is 500 years old. He's an old man. How come Noach is so old? That's a question that Rashi is bothered by.
It's an older
thing, though. Huh? An older, was he a single? I don't know. It doesn't say, by the way, anywhere in these early chapters of Genesis that people actually married and had their children. Presumably they did marry, but steht nicht. Okay, I don't know what to do with that. Yes, Yitzchak.
Doesn't Lemach have two wives?
What?
Lemach had wives.
Yes.
Who had wives?
Lemach.
Lemach had two wives. Okay, correct. Right, but no one else has wives. Right? Okay. Fine. So now, Noach is 500 and he has Shem, Cham, and Yafes. This is different than everybody else in the sequence. Everybody else, the Torah says he had a son named whatever, and then later on he had many other children. By Yolad Banim Ubanos. Right? By Noach, we don't see that. By Noach, he's 500, he has three kids, Shem, Cham, and Yafes, three sons. Three named sons. No one else has more than a single named child. Right? And Rashi kind of addresses this. Rashi in Pasuk Lamed Beis says, he quotes a Medrash of Reb Yudin. How come all the generations gave birth at age 100 and Noach gives birth at 500? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Im Rishayim Heim Yovdu B'mayim V'ralat Tzadik Zeh Im Tzadikim Heim Atriach Aleov La'asos Tevis Harbe Kaveshes Mayanov Loholed Ad Tav Kuf Shana Kedesh Lo Yoyefes HaGadosh Abana V'roi Lo'on Shem Lefnei Hamabol. Zot Rashi, that God is like making a calculation. He says, you know what? I don't know if these humanity people things are going to make it. And therefore, Hashem says, maybe they'll be Rishayim. If they're Rishayim, why should we have to kill more children? If they will be Tzadikim, so Noach is going to have to work harder to build additional Tevas to save all those families. So therefore, what Hashem did is, Kavesh Esmayanu, Hashem held back Noach from having children. Again, I'm not sure, by the way, the verb form over here. Is kavash asmayano, is that Noach himself held back? From the way Rashi's presenting it, sounds like Hashem is making this calculation, right? Okay, but whatever, Noach does not give birth until he's 500, so that Yefes, who's the oldest child, will not be deserving of punishment before the Mabul, because, as Rashi tells us, everybody knows that until Matan Torah, no one got punished until the age of 100. Isn't that striking? Wowza! Until Matan Torah, right? Just process that. Matan Torah is a long time from now, up to Noah. Right? Matan Torah is all the way in Yisrael. Until Matan Torah, people don't get punished until the age of 100. As what you state in Rashi. So this is a very difficult Rashi. And Rashi quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya or something. It's a very difficult Rashi. Hard to know what it means. In this edition of Rashi, in the Rabbi Shavel, you know, who put out the Ramban al HaTorah. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Shavel, the last book he put out, actually, they published this after he died. He completed it right before he passed away. Rabbi Shavel was a rabbi in Farakoy. He was a rabbi, actually, in Bayswater. In a small little shul. If you drive down Seeger Boulevard, like 2 blocks before Darchei Torah's massive campus. So that was Rabbi Shavel's shul. Now it's like old and decrepit, like falling apart. That was Rabbi Shavel's shul. My understanding is Rabbi Shavel was a scholar, and he liked to write, and the shul was like falling apart when he was there also. Okay, but he made huge contributions to Torah with these additions. In the Rabbi Shavel edition of Rashi, he points out that Matan Torah over here does not mean Matan Torah. He quotes a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Tes that uses the expression of Matan Torah to be when Avram Avinu was 52 years old, when that was the time of Es HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan. Now, that is a long time before Matan Torah, when Avram is 52. Right? Avram was born in the year 1948, right? Any Zionists out there? Right? Avram was born 1948. And Avram is 52 in the year... Higher mathematics? What? Louder?
2000.
That sounds right. Right? So that is when that is the time of Torah, is the year 2000, not at Matan Torah, when Avram is 52. So until that time, you had to be 100 to be punished. That's what emerges from Rashi. Now, by the way, I should note, Rashi over here comments that Yefes is the oldest son, right? In the next Rashi also, Shem Chom and Yefes. Yefes is the oldest, but B'tchila atadoresh eshu tzadik v'nolag shu mahol b'shavram yotza mimenu. Shem comes first because Shem is a tzadik, Shem is the, we are Semites. Because we come from Shem. Avram came from Shem. Great, wonderful, amazing. Now, by the way, that means that to be an anti-Semite, you're also anti-Arab, no? Because Yishmael also comes from shame. But, okay, Zozain, beautiful Rashi. Just 1 second, let me finish this point, Yitzchak, and then I'll take your question. But Rashi does not really tell us the order. Rashi tells us that Yefes is the oldest. How come shame comes first? Rashi tells me why shame comes first. Well, who came, right? Shame comes first because shame is special. Well, okay, who came next? If Yefes is the oldest, who's second? You could read it that Shem is second, or you could read it that Chum is second. It's not clear. Rashi doesn't take a stand, and there's a machlokas among the Mefarshim of Rashi about who came first. It could be that because we list shame first, we decide to go in youngest to oldest order. You know, sometimes on Friday night, I usually give my kids brachas Friday night, I start with the oldest. And Yosef Dov, my youngest, says, how come I don't go first? So one week I said, okay, Yosef Dov, you'll go first. So then Rina, my 8-year-old, says I should go second. Right? Well, it doesn't have to work that way. It could be that you start with Yosef Dov and then you go back, right? You could, like, play lots of games. What?
Rotate.
Right, you could rotate, you could do many different things, and it's unclear from Rashi, this is Machlokas and the Mefarshim of Rashi, etc. Yitzchak, let me hear your comment, then we gotta talk more about these pesukim quickly. What? Shame is not, because there's a later pasuk that says, Achi Yefes HaGadol, which sounds like Yefes is the oldest. So, basically, right, Rashi says that Yefes, right, Halo Yefes HaGadol, he's like paraphrasing that pasuk later on. Fine. Now, what is wrong in the generation of Noah? What are the people doing bad? So look at these pesukim and try to figure out what's going on over here. People begin to spread out across the earth and they have daughters. And the B'nai Elohim see B'nos HaAdam. What on earth is going on here? Does anyone understand these pesukim?
Well, the people in power
you're good.
Took advantage of the...
you're very good.
Thank you.
Right? The people in power. How do you see people in power?
B'nai
Elohim. So there are people in power who are taking advantage of people in the lower strata of society, and they're taking wives, okay? I don't know, like, people, I don't know if, like, you live under a rock and you don't know about this Me Too thing that's going on, right? But there is something in the history of where Noah comes on. The sin of the generation before Noah is you have B'nai Elohim, people in power, in a higher position, who are taking, they see the women, kitovos hena. They see something good about the women. Now, by the way, Rashi comments, kitovos hena means that the women, again, Rashi's like giving a backhanded compliment. Right? They're not usually pretty. They're only pretty now because they're being made up because it's their wedding day. And these B'nai Elohim are stealing these women when they are getting married at the chuppah with some other guy, they're coming and they're taking them. Or at the time when they're all, right, getting ready for marriage. That's what, right, that's what Rashi says. So this is an abuse of power. B'nai Elohim. The Ramban, by the way, makes that point. B'nai Elohim is an abuse of power. And they are doing some sort of sexual sin. Now, Hashem therefore responds, and Hashem says, Lo yadon rochi ba'adam la'olam b'shagam hu basar v'hayu yamav me'av esrim shana. Anyone want to translate this? How does our scope translate this pasuk, okay?
My spiritual and contend evermore concerning man.
I don't even understand the English. Yeah. Since he's but flesh, his days shall be 120 years. What does that mean?
Adun is contend, like from face din.
Okay, so you're understanding that's based on din.
Right.
Right? Lo yadun ruchi ba'adam means that I should not, like, judge people anymore. But Rashi does not learn like that. Rashi writes, Lo yadun ruchi ba'adam, lo yisra'im v'yariv ruchi alai b'shvil ha'adam. And Rashi is saying it's as follows. Hashem is saying, I don't want my soul, I don't want Hashem's soul, kidiyachol, to be tormented because of people. Hashem is tormented. You have these bad people who are abusing power, who are taking women. They're doing bad things. Hashem says, I'm tormented. I don't know what to do. On the one hand, I say, Bishagam hu basar. They're just people. They're frail. I should cut it easy. On the other hand, they're being really bad. So what should I do? Hashem is saying. Hashem says, you know what? I'm not going to be tormented anymore. V'hayu yamav me'av esrim shana. Rashi learns, me'av esrim shana. Again, we're only learning Rashi. Rashi says, I'm going to hold my anger back for another 120 years. By the way, according to Rashi, there is no pasuk in Torah that says people can only live 120 years anymore. The common thing that we grew up with in grade school, that no one can look more than 120, and this is like perfect, and you can't, right? It's going to happen in our lifetime, probably. People are going to break the 120-year barrier. And the Gemara's going to say, what's going on, Pasuk? The answer is, it ain't no Pasuk. The answer is that the Torah says, Hashem is saying, I'm going to not be angry at them, where I'm going to hold my anger back for 120 years, I'll give 120 years. Now therefore, Rashi has to give us an Ein Mukdam U'Me'uchar Batorah. He has to say that this episode of Hashem punishing, Hashem making this decision that there's 120 years left, is before Noach had Shem Chamin Yepes, because Shem Chamin Yepes can only be less than 100, right? 100 or less when the Mabul comes. So this happened a little bit earlier, so it's an Ein Mukdam U'Me'uchar that Rashi throws in. Interestingly, Dr. Elman has like a series of articles in the Torah Modern Journal about how the Ramban does not like using Ein Mukdam U'Me'uchar. The Ramban over here does not comment on Rashi. Those Rambans are generally in Chumash Mos. In Chumash Bereishis over here, the Ramban does not comment on this Rashi, which I think is interesting. Yitzchak, you had a comment.
But according to Ibn Ezra, there is a Pasuk
that says 100 years. Okay. We're learning Rashi. We're learning Rashi. According to Rashi, there ain't no Pasuk that says that there is a 120-year lifestyle. End of conversation. Now, the basic story over here, by the way, Rashi also comments, he adds additional sins over here that don't say in the text, no? On the Rashi, Mikol Asher Bacharu, in Pasuk Beis, Rashi says, Af bu'ul asbal af hazochar v'habahema. That they're taking wives from whatever they wanted, that they would take men, or they would take, in other words, men would take men, or they would take animals. Rashi is making the people of the generation of Noah very depraved. Correct? That's what Rashi is doing. Then there's this Pasuk Dalet, really hard to understand. Apparently there are these giants who are in the world in those days, and B'nai Elohim come to Nos Adam, and they have children, and these children resemble B'nai HaElohim. Apparently, the B'nai Elohim have two advantages. A, they are the ruling class. B, they are like super giants. No? They are Nephilim. Now, what's going to happen if B'nai Elohim marry B'Nos HaAdam? Do you have a normal-sized person, or you have a super gigantic person? Again, I'm not going back to like pre-human things and what this means, and are we dealing with pre-humans, or you, I don't know, right? I can't think in these terms. But the Pasuk basically says that the children that were born are Giborim, Anshei Hashem. Rashi has a few comments on Anshei Hashem. Basically, these are well-known people. These are strong people. Fine. God sees, Pasuk Hey, God sees that people are bad. And everything that people do is bad. Vayinachem Hashem ki asat adam ba'aretz, vayitatzev al elibo. That's a very hard pasuk to understand. Vayinachem Hashem. Rashi has two ways of understanding vayinachem Hashem. One approach that Rashi says is God took comfort that Adam is ba'aretz. Meaning, God said, I could have made Adam as a celestial figure. I'm comforted that I didn't. Because look at the bad things Adam is doing. Had Adam been min ha'elyonim, it would have really been bad. That's one comment. And by yis'atzev el-libo, according to Rashi, means that Adam made Hashem by yis'atzev ha'adam el-libo shamakom. Right? In other words, Hashem is comforted that he made Adam min ha'tachtonim, not min ha'elyonim. By yis'atzev el-libo, and Adam, right, basically made Hashem sad, because even though Hashem is taking some modicum of comfort, but he's making Hashem sad. The second explanation, Rashi, is that Yinachem Hashem is that Hashem changed his mind. Hashem said, you know what? Right, I wanted to have Rachmanus on people. Now it's going to be Midas Hadin. It's like the opposite of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the shofar, moves Hashem from Din to Rachamim. Now people are moving Hashem from Rachamim to Din. Hashem changes his mind, and then Hashem, by Yis'atzev el-libo, Hashem feels terrible that he has to destroy mankind. Right? It's rare that we attribute emotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The one time that we're attributing emotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is over here in this pasuk. God is saddened that he's destroying. Well, by Yichav Hashem, God gets angry, and the others, God shows anger. But to say that God is sad, that's a different type of emotion. I think God doesn't have emotions, right? So God's anger means God punishes. Right? What does it mean God is sad? That's harder to understand. Yitzhak, yeah, briefly.
God's jealousy.
God is jealous. In other words, God doesn't want us. God will punish us if we worship others. God doesn't have emotions.
How do you know?
Huh?
How do you know that?
How do I know that? The Rambam tells me. It can't be, because if God has no form, no figure, no anything, God can't have emotions either. Okay? Now, and then Hashem says, I will destroy the land, I will destroy Adam, ki nichamti ki asisim, because, again, I feel bad, or I reneged, I changed my mind, but Noach matzachem b'enei Hashem. Noach alone finds favor in Hashem's eyes, end of Bereshis. So what we have at the end of Bereshis is a story of abuse of power. B'nei Elohim are abusing, and there is one individual who stands out, called Noah. Now, we can understand the beginning of Noah. There are two explanations at the beginning of Noah. Everyone talks about Noah, tzadik haya b'dorosav, right? Rashi has two comments. Either b'dorosav means, have you been the generation of Abraham? Right? Right? Or, right, Noach is tzadik haya b'dorosav. Actually, I'm going in the opposite order, that he would have been even better had he been in the generation of tzadikim. Right?
Can you also say that he was a tzadik for his generation, but in Avram's generation, he wouldn't have been a tzadik?
So one explanation, Rashi, is that had he been in the generation of tzadikim, would have been even better.
Uh-huh.
The other explanation is, had he been in the generation of Avram, he would not have been considered anything. He would not have been a tzaddik at all. Those are two explanations, Rashi. Now, what is motivating Rashi to make those comments? Tzaddik haya b'dorosav. What's motivating Rashi?
The b'dorosav is a bit weird.
Again?
B'dorosav is a bit weird.
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
The same, I would qualify with
B'dorotav. So B'dorotav is a word that is qualifying. It could have just said Noach is a tzaddik. But there is another problem, which is B'dorotav is plural. You get the impression that Noach is a tzaddik in many generations, no? Now, the approach that Noach is a tzaddik in many generations would be more in line with what Rashi has as his first explanation, that had he been in a generation with others, he would have been even better. Right? The second explanation of Noah, though, is that had he been in the generation of Abraham, he wouldn't be good at all. The second explanation of Noah is probably based on the context at the end of Bereshis. At the end of Bereshis, Noah finds favor in Hashem's eyes. It doesn't say Noah is particularly good, no? He's not as bad as those really despicable people. Now, the plural is not addressed in the second explanation of Rashi. The plural in B'dorotav. No?
Yeah.
It sounds like more than one generation. All I'll say about Noah is that I think this fits in with the approach that we began with. Noah is a passive individual. He is influenced by his surroundings. A strong person, right? You know, one of my friends in high school had his yearbook quote as, you can be cool even if no one's around. Right? If you really hold of yourself, it doesn't matter who's around. I am who I am. It doesn't matter. Noach is certainly not like that. Right? Whatever you say about Noach, he's someone who's influenced by his times. And I think that's the difference between being a Noach and being a Menachem. Noach is not someone who actively does anything. He's not bringing any comfort to others. And this fits in with the next comment of Rashi about how Avram walks in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his halach lefanev ha-yisamim, but Noach walks with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc. Now,
how can you say that that Noach walks with God if God asked him to make the people repent and he didn't do it?
Yeah, God is asking to, but the point is Noach is walking with God, but Noach is not actively doing anything. He's doing whatever God tells him he'll do, exactly, but he's not.
But he didn't.
Going, what?
He didn't, because God asked him to make the people repent, and he didn't do it.
Well, again, he was not successful in doing it. Noach, again, Rashi later on will comment, I don't think we have time to get there, that Noach is miktanei amuna, that Noach doesn't go into the teva until the waters of the Mabul come, and right, so to speak, push Noach in. I just want to make one other comment, back to Bereshis, that will connect to the beginning of Noach. Hashem says, I will destroy Adam. May Adam ad behema. Why are the animals getting destroyed? So Rashi at the end of Bereshis on page 28 in these Chumashim, Rashi has two explanations. Explanation one is that Apim hishchisu darkam, meaning that the animals also are sexually immoral. Wow. Interesting.
Maybe they explain Sefer Yonah.
Why the tshuva is done with the animals also. Well, Sefer Yonah actually plays a big role in the Noach story in...
Or with Al-Sheikhas Magdullah asking that the taiva for Arayos be taken away.
Right, so Al-Sheikhas have to dive in because or else the chickens won't mate with each other and no one's having eggs. But it doesn't say that animals are immoral ever. It just said, right, those chickens are being moral, they hang out with other chickens. Right? That's very moral for a chicken. That's fine. Yeah, not that I've really studied much about chicken morality. But Rashi's comment is that the animals, afhim hishchisu darkam. And what? And therefore the animals get punished? Can animals get punished? Do animals have bechira? You see, our understanding is that onesh is a result of bechira. If I could choose to do right and I choose to do wrong, I get punished. Zakt Rashi, apparently, the animals are being punished because Apim Ishchisu Darkam, and they should have known better. No? The second explanation of Rashi says, May Adam Ad Behema, that the animals are punished because since Adam is being punished, the animals are collateral damage with Adam.
That makes sense.
Right? Now, there is a machlokas between the Rambam in the Sefer Mor and the Vuchim and the Ramban, about, you know, we have a halacha of a Shar HaNiskal, when an ox gores a human and kills a human, so the Torah says that the ox gets killed. Why does the ox get killed? Is that an onesh for the Baal HaShar? Are we punishing the owner of the Shar? Or are we punishing the ox? Punishing the ox? What bechira does the ox have?
He's removing a danger.
Right? Oxes just act on instinct. The answer might be the Ramban holds a chiddush. The Ramban tells me that animals have bechira for certain activities. And Hashem will punish And Hashem will punish an animal if the animal violates those activities, and it's a punishment for the shar, not for the Baal HaShar. Right? The punishment for the shar. And by the way, Rashi in Noach only quotes the approach that seems difficult to us. Rashi Noach says that animals get punished. Here, I could point out which pasuk it is. Ki hishkis kol basar, pasuk yud beis. Rashi says that animals got punished because nizkakim l'sha'inon minon. That is the difficult explanation. Right? For some reason, Rashi and Noach seems to be picking on the explanation that is less easy to understand at the end of Bereshis. Now, some say that, of course, the animals were nizkak l'sha'in aminan, the two explanations of Rashi is just can they get punished for it. But again, the way Rashi and Noach sounds like, you get an impression that the animals are being punished also, which all we're noting is that that's one explanation of Rashi in Bereshis. Yeah, Yitzchak.
There's a Gemara, the Gemara talks about the mother Omer that holds that if you want to kill an animal, you need to be invested.
We paskin that you need a bezdin, but again, is
not the shore, any animal.
Yavo baldino v'yamora, yavo bahasha v'yamora shoro. Right, that if you want to kill an animal for killing a person, you need to have a psak din, etc. And the person, the owner of the animal, has to be there to defend the animal, etc. Those are halachos, but it's still not clear from the psukim. Are we punishing the animal or are we punishing the owner of the animal? And that's machlokas, Rambam and Ramban, and that seems to be two explanations in Rashi here.
But that has the universal. The Gemara seems to question whether if you have a snake, a dangerous snake lying around, that you would need a convenient vestin to kill the snake.
Right. Well, can you just kill a snake right away? Because we assume that nochash muwe v'olam, etc.
But just any random animal, saying, it seems like even when it's not over someone.
Okay, in other words, I'm not saying only shark. Any animal, animals have enough bechira not to kill people.
The snake was punishing Gan Eden.
What?
The snake was punishing.
So what happened in Gan Eden is like in a different world, right? In Gan Eden, so of course animals could get punished, and the snake is speaking and walking, and like it's all exciting. Like Gan Eden is a world that we can't comprehend. In our world, we're post Gan Eden. We're in Parshas Noach. Right?
But we understand that mankind was saved because of the one tzaddik Noah. But if it's true that animals were corrupt, then who is the Noah?
So, man, who's, how come that, so you get the impression that Hashem doesn't want to have to completely start a new world. Right? So, the animals are coming along, so to speak, for the benefit of Noah. I mean, it's a very good question. By the way, I do think that there is a bit of a raya, for evolution from Parshas Noach, it's impossible that all of those the teva is pretty small, no? The teva is 100 amos by 50 by 30. Now that's 200 feet by 100 feet by like 60 feet. That's pretty small. How many species of animals are there in this planet? Okay, the teva could basically hold one giraffe and one elephant. So there are two ways of answering this question. You could say that the animals are like a menagerie. They're like miniaturized animals. Like the table is a kind of little, very cute, you know? And that's, by the way, how they probably had enough food to feed everybody. Because cute little ant, right? The other approach is that maybe there were fewer animals in the world at that time. And therefore, we have a proof to species evolution. How did everything fit in the teva? Think about it. I'm not sure of the answer, but thank you for listening, Chaver. Should have a good night.
Well, couldn't you say that we got, just like when we have
Let me just turn this off. Yeah, I'm a